The Shostakovich Cello Concerto was premiered in the United States with Eugene Ormandy and the Philadelphia Orchestra, with the composer present then during the first recording. So there's a history in Philadelphia with this piece.
Well, and actually this very recording is very, very special for me personally, because I found this recording, an old LP, in my dad's record collection when I was like 14 years old. And I was like, Shostakovich, never heard of this guy. So I wanted to check it out. And instantly, you know, within the first few bars, I totally fell in love with this concerto. And this became my favorite record for years. And immediately after that, I started studying it. And so this piece with the Philadelphia Orchestra is something that is very, very personal for me as well. So I feel even more honored and touched in a way that I can actually perform with this orchestra that basically inspired me to become a cellist, because it wasn't always clear for me to do that. And when I heard this recording with Rostropovich and the Philadelphia Orchestra and Ormandy conducting, I was like, man, this really rocks. Like, I want to do that for a living. You know, this seems like an occupation that is actually going to be really worthwhile. And it turned out to be.
Well, that's great. It's a very powerful and dramatic piece. And the first movement starts out aggressive and strong. And what are you thinking? How are you approaching it?
Well, Shostakovich himself said that it's kind of a jolly march. And of course, jolly or happy with Shostakovich is always an interesting thing, because he's such a dark personality. So you have to take that with a grain of salt. But the way I approach it is that, I mean, you don't have to have lived in Russia of that time to be able to channel your anger and to be able to channel aggression, but also to channel like very personal emotions, which, you know, you definitely find in the cadenza and also in the second movement. So I think this piece has such a roundedness of, or shall we say, variety of extreme emotions. I think that fits it better. The rawness of emotion is something that really speaks to me, and is something that I find is an incredibly cathartic outlet for me as well. I have the feeling after a performance of Shostakovich, I really was able to reconnect with sort of raw emotion, whereas, you know, when you are traveling all the time and you know, you have to deal with airport personnel and, you know, be nice to the people that check in at the hotel, you have to sugarcoat your emotion quite a lot all the time. And once you get the chance to really connect to raw emotion, that is something I cherish a lot.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned the variety, because the first movement is so almost angry, and then the second movement is more soulful. And the third movement is a cadenza, and that's very unusual, isn't it?
Well, the cadenza is unusual because of its length and because it is its own movement. I mean, that is very unusual. And what is so interesting for me in this cadenza, that obviously, you know, it's a very personal monologue, but at the same time, it also, when you look at the dramatic curve between the second movement and the fourth movement, you need that cadenza to carry the energy, which is basically, you know, at zero at the end of the second movement, to, you know, 150,000 volts at the beginning of the fourth movement. And you need to make that transition happen within those 4.5 minutes. And that is a challenge that I find highly interesting, because I'm a big fan of drama. I love theater. I love opera. I love, you know, dramatic writing. And I'm just amazed when you find an artist that is able to get a dramatic curve across, and how you do that.
This doesn't have any particular narrative, does it?
Well, there is no particular narrative, but there is something that I call sort of a secret code. Of course, Shostakovich made use a lot of his initials, DSCH, which you don't find in this concerto, unfortunately. But what you find is a sort of masked and grimaced version of Stalin's favorite song, which is called Suliko, and it's a Georgian song, and it's to this day, it's still very popular. Imagine that. And the beginning of this song is quoted in the last movement. And, you know, he hides it so well that even in the first rehearsals, he had to walk up to the podium and show Rostropovich where it is hidden and actually what it is. So I can just imagine Shostakovich hiding such a satire in this music and finding personal pleasure and sort of, you know, a small personal revenge. Because obviously, I mean, back in the day, they didn't have The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. I mean, they had to find a way to sort of make fun of political figures. And of course, Stalin was giving Shostakovich a very hard time, but at the same time, he was supporting him. So it was a constant sort of limbo that Shostakovich found himself in. And that also comes out in his music, very much so. I mean, you can read it in so many different ways, and that's fascinating.
Wow, thank you so much, Johannes Moser.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.